In 1948, while unicycling through Bell Labs hallways, Claude Shannon quietly published what Bill Gates would later call the Magna Carta of the Information Age. This unassuming paper, Mathematical Theory of Communication, laid the groundwork for our entire digital world, yet most people have never heard Shannon's name. His revolutionary insight was deceptively simple. Information isn't about order or predictability. It's fundamentally about surprise. This revelation doesn't just explain how your smartphone works. It offers the missing piece in our understanding of economics, innovation, and human creativity itself. What makes this insight so powerful? Consider how we typically think about information. We imagine it as organized data, neatly structured knowledge. Shannon turned this on its head. The more predictable something is, the less information it contains. A message stating, "The sun will rise tomorrow," carries almost no information because everyone expects it. But, "A meteor will strike Earth tomorrow," is information rich because it's unexpected. This principle, that information equals surprise, isn't just a technical curiosity. It's the key to understanding why economies grow, why innovation happens, and why traditional economics has failed to explain the extraordinary explosion of human prosperity. Economics has a blind spot the size of Silicon Valley. Since Adam Smith, the discipline has treated the economy as a machine finding natural equilibrium. The problem? Humans have free will and creativity. We aren't billiard balls following physical laws. This blindness affects both free market economists and central planners. One believes markets naturally balance themselves, the other wants to impose balance through planning. Neither focuses on what actually drives prosperity: unpredictable innovation. No mathematical model could have predicted the iPhone or explained Tesla's disruption of the auto industry. The 2008 financial crisis highlighted this failure. Economic models couldn't account for how fear, greed, and social contagion drove housing prices to absurd heights before collapsing. The models assumed rational actors, but humans are storytellers, not calculators. Most striking is that economics still can't explain our prosperity. The 119-fold increase in economic output since 1800 remains largely attributed to an unexplained residual factor, accounting for 80% of growth. Not some minor detail, but the main story of human creativity economics has failed to capture. Classical and Keynesian economics missed a fundamental element due to timing. Information theory emerged after both frameworks were established, leaving them without mathematical tools to understand how surprise and uncertainty drive economic growth. Shannon quantified information mathematically. A coin toss yields 1 bit, a die throw 2.58 bits. By defining the bit, calculating entropy, and analyzing noise interference, he built our digital age's foundation. These principles apply directly to economics, where entrepreneurs encode business concepts into physical reality. The key insight? Transmitting high-entropy products, innovations, requires a low-entropy channel, stable economic environment. Just as static disrupts calls, economic instability interferes with entrepreneurial signals. When governments manipulate interest rates or create policy uncertainty, they introduce noise that hampers market communication. Innovation requires both chaos and order. Creative destruction must happen within predictable rules. Without stable property rights, reasonable regulations, and sound currency, even brilliant ideas struggle to materialize. This balance between creative disorder and institutional stability is what truly drives economic growth. Economics has largely ignored entrepreneurs' crucial role. Despite predictions that institutions would dominate, venture-backed companies generated over 20% of America's GDP in 2010, with young companies creating virtually all new jobs. Entrepreneurship combines structure with randomness, like Shannon's information theory. True innovations can't be planned by governments or anticipated by customers. Henry Ford noted, people would have asked for faster horses. Breakthroughs arrive as high entropy surprises from the supply side. Qualcomm exemplifies this. When they proposed digital wireless technology, experts claimed it violated the laws of physics. Yet they became immensely valuable by understanding that digital wireless succeeds by controlling power, not maximizing it. This pattern recurs throughout history. From Edison to Musk, entrepreneurs create possibilities no one knew to request. They don't merely respond to demand, they create entirely new categories, extending markets through learning curves that reduce costs and expand possibilities. A paradox troubles economic thinkers. If capitalism naturally produces optimal outcomes, why do we need rules and institutions? The Austrian school's spontaneous order concept contains an inherent contradiction. Spontaneity implies high entropy and surprise, while order signifies low entropy and predictability. Information theory reveals that high entropy creations require low entropy carriers. Like digital information needs stable circuits, capitalism's creative dynamics depend on reliable foundations, property rights, contract enforcement, and monetary systems that require deliberate construction. Silicon Valley exemplifies this principle, functioning within patent law, venture capital regulations, and contract enforcement. Countries with weak property rights struggle with innovation despite market freedom. China's economic transformation required building institutional structures before entrepreneurship could flourish. The libertarian view that capitalism thrives in anarchy ignores historical evidence. Commercial law, from medieval lex mercatoria to modern corporate structures, required deliberate effort. English common law, Roman civil law, and American constitutional order emerged through centuries of conscious development, not spontaneous emergence. In 1982, amid 20% interest rates, high inflation, and 10% unemployment, Bob Wilmers made a seemingly irrational choice, taking over a failing bank in declining Buffalo. While competitors chased profits through financial engineering, Wilmers followed a different principle. Banking is fundamentally about knowledge, not just capital. Taking active ownership of M&T Bank, Wilmers focused on conservative lending based on intimate borrower knowledge. He built M&T into a powerhouse that grew 20% annually for a decade, attracted Warren Buffett's investment, and achieved 140 consecutive profitable quarters, even during the 2008 crisis. Similarly, John Allison transformed BB&T from a $4.5 billion statewide bank to a $152 billion institution, weathering the subprime crisis without losses by refusing risky products. These bankers understood that successful banking requires knowing customers, understanding communities, and maintaining discipline to decline poor risks. This integration of knowledge and capital represents the essence of successful capitalism, contrasting with major banks where 75% of revenues came from leveraged trading rather than lending. At its heart, capitalism isn't about greed, it's about giving. Entrepreneurs forego immediate consumption, invest in uncertain ventures, and create products and jobs before seeing returns. Profit emerges as the difference between an item's value to giver and recipient, an index of investment altruism. America's successful entrepreneurs exhibit discipline, hard work, and austerity. True greed seeks unearned wealth through government intervention. The wealthy have generally earned their money through contributions exceeding their incomes. Warren Buffett's lower tax rate reflects his superior investment knowledge. Entrepreneurial wealth comes from mastering gritty details others avoid. While the top 1% possess more net worth than the bottom 90% combined, this concentration may represent capital allocation to those who use it productively. Leading entrepreneurs remain bound to the mast of their enterprises, keeping wealth only by continuously reinvesting it, creating a cycle where resources flow toward those most capable of using them for others' benefit.